Hare Krishna, this is Dhanadhara Swami,
and we'll begin.
Om Gyanatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Malatamyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Newburgh. I'm at the Ravel's place. Tomorrow we go to the opening of the Hare Krishna film in Hudson, of all places around the country. Hudson, New York, we're having shows for about 3 weeks in a row from Thursday to Sunday. And Krishna Kumari and Naganath have organized a nice kirtan before the program, sit-down kirtan in the park, glorified Prabhupada. So it's a real glorious, moment. So we're on chapter 31, still on discussing of rasa, madhurya ras. I explained before that the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that in this wonderful dialogue, I don't really have to go back because right now, as far as I know, the people that are still here are the people that have come. Joined us from the very beginning, and I think it's kind of natural because I normally wouldn't start with such topics. You build them up gradually, but there are people that came from the very beginning. I remember when I initially started to visit Narayan Maharaj, and at that time, he was a great friend of ISKCON. He had performed the Samadhi rites for Prabhupada. He would send Prabhupada things from Mathura. There was a relationship with Prabhupada. And one time I went with him, with Urijan, and we wanted to study with him because he was a learned scholar. So he said, what do you want to learn? In fact, when we first came to him, he didn't speak English, or he wasn't comfortable with English, and he told us that he'll teach us the philosophy if we teach him English. Very quickly he picked up, because I guess he knew something, but previous to that, it was only translation. So he said, what do you want to learn? And we said, Jiva Dharma. And we didn't know really much about Jiva Dharma. The internet wasn't so wide. So I don't know if we had it then. And it was just a different world. So we never really heard of Jiva Dharma. I don't think was it published? Maybe his book came, I don't know. So he looked at us and said, so you want to understand Raganuga Bhakti. We didn't really know what was in the book. And then he looked at us and he said, Anya Bilashita Shunyam. You got to be free from desire. We said, we just heard it was a good book. He said, okay, we can start. And then he said, chapter 20, what chapter is this? This is 31. He said, chapter 22, Rasa Vichar, consideration of Rasa. We're in that section. And It's a very, very interesting. I mean, the absolute realization of it takes a great depth of Krishna consciousness, but the theoretical understanding of it is quite simple. It's a great science that God's pleasure is love, and the height of that love is called rasa, which reaches its height in exchange of God and God's energies. In fact, when Vyasadeva was to write the Bhagavatam, inspired by Narada Muni, and went into meditation, when he went into meditation, bhakti yogena manasi samyak praniyate mala pashat purusham purnam maya chitata pasayam. What did he see? He saw maya under Krishna. Maya chitata pasayam. He saw Krishna and his energies, and the energy serving Krishna. But what he actually saw with the energy serving Krishna, when you get down to its essence, it's Krishna's pastimes. That's what's happening. Krishna's love potency is carried in the heart of these pure souls. And his pleasure is this exchange, reflected here in a perverted way. Why should we deny that in the absolute reality? This point comes up again and again and again. It seems reasonable that this is a reflection of what it has come from, but in a perfected form, and that's Krishna's pastimes. And the analysis and understanding of it in those exchanges of love between Krishna and his devotees, it can be categorized of the composite of five different emotional experiences called Vibhav, Anubhav, Satvika Bhav, Vyapachari Bhav, or Sanchari Bhav, and Sai Bhav. And each relationship is composed of these different components. For example, one component in a perfume would be oil, but what oil would there be? One would be vegetables, but what vegetable? One would be grain. So in that way, they're common ingredients, categories of ingredients, categories of bhava, categories of relationship, but there's different ingredients in each relationship, different actions, different permanent feelings, different causes of ecstasy, different devotees are engaged in that relationship. So this was discussed, how each relationship of Krishna is composed of these five different bhavas in the Western division of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And the fifth wave was Madhurya Rasa, which he covered uncharacteristically very briefly, because as we've been reading in this chapter, that is the culmination of all love for Krishna in its intensity. And he wrote this separate book called Ujjvala Nilamani. And now there's a little bit of a summary of that to some way, which will be discussed more in depth with the enlightenment of these two qualified souls, Vrajanath and Vijay. So Vijay is explaining his realizations, that he explains that this rasa is very pure and it arises in the heart when the heart is illuminated by Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness, the ultimate reality, the ultimate energy, pure goodness. And it transcends the limit of a human being's power of contemplation. You can't understand this. You have to feel it. And it exists in the spiritual world. It's not here in the material world. But it manifests when
the pure nature of the jiva. It manifests upon the pure nature of the jiva, living entity, who's in a atomic particle of consciousness. So that's who we are. It manifests on the pure existence of that conscious particle. And when one has the mercy of Guru, one can discriminate between this state, Shuddha Sattva, and Nishra Sattva, when it's not the pure state or it's mixed. Now, hearing the realization of his disciple Vijay, Guru Goswami will comment on it. What you have said is absolutely true. Now I will ask you a question to dispel many of your doubts. Simply by answering it, you will realize a transcendental tattva. Tell me, what is the difference between Shuddha Sattva and Nishra Sattva? Pure goodness and mixed goodness. Vijay Kumar offered Shastanga Dandavat Pranams, means all limbs on the floor, as Gurudev, and said humbly, Prabhu, by your mercy, I will explain it to the best of my ability. Please correct me if I make any mistake. That which has existence is called Sattva. This is the root of Sattva. So it's Sattva. And a substance that has actual position, form, quality, and activity can be called sattva. So sattva is the real nature of being. That's what sattva is. It's the real nature of being. Shuddha sattva is sattva that has no beginning or end and whose form is eternally new. It's an eternal energy. It's not vikara. It's not transforming like the body, which is not eternal. The material world, which is not eternal. The material energy is eternal, but the combinations and permutations of the material energy are not eternal. But Shuddha Sattva is the eternal reality, which basically means contact with God. It is not contaminated by the divisions of past and future time and always remains thoroughly astonishing. So it's another reality. It doesn't reduce. Things reduce in time. You meditate on the past, meditate on the future, and it has a history. And in history, material things wane, but this remains always powerful and always shining because it's not a temporary generation of something. It's the eternal reality manifest. The energy of the eternal reality manifests. Shuddha Sattva includes all aspects of existence that are the products of the pure spiritual energy, Shuddha Chit Shakti. Now it's going to make a comparison between Shuddha Sattva and Maya Tattva. In Maya, which is the shadow of the Chit Shakti of the spiritual energy, there is transformation of time as past and future. All aspects of existence in this Maya contain the Rajo Dharma, function and mode of goodness of Maya, but they have the beginning. They also contain Tamo Dharma, function and mode of ignorance, but they have an end. Mishra Tattva refers to an aspect of Mayaka Sattva that have a beginning and an end. So it's not pure goodness. Shuddha Sattva. It's another reality, which is mentioned here. It transcends the limit of human beings' power of contemplation. So you enter in touch with that reality. You enter into a reality that is beyond time. And because it's God's energy, it's astonishing. Apurvata, it's not boring. That reality is not boring. I was actually, my next Monday morning greetings would be about this. I was taking a walk, had nothing to think about except the moment. And I just started to feel the moment and really enter into God's presence. God exists in the moment. Not in the future, he exists. Of course, he's always existing, so in that sense, he's there in the future. But when our mind is not, when our mind is too much in the future, we don't experience God. And when the mind is too much in the past, we don't experience God. God is the reality that's existing now, beyond its transformation, beyond the permutations and combinations of the material energy that give an appearance of reality, but aren't actually reality. Nasate vidyate bhavo, nabhavo vidyate sada. That which is eternal is real, and that which is not eternal is not real. Like a wave in the ocean. It doesn't have a reality in itself. It's a composite of it's a transformation of something. It's always changing. So there's no set something to grab onto. Now, the pure jiva is shuddha-sattva, and his form, qualities, and activities are also composed of shuddha-sattva. However, since the shuddha-jiva was conditioned, the two qualities of maya, rajagun, and tamagun have become mixed with this pure sattva. Therefore, the conditioned jiva is called mishra sattva, mixed existence or mixed goodness. Basically, it's covered. The pure sattva is covered. Goswami Baba, you have presented an extremely subtle siddhanta. Now tell me, how is the heart of the jiva illuminated by shuddha-sattva? So, well, anyway, this was Vijay's answer. Now his guru is inquiring further to test that answer. Baba, you have presented an extremely subtle siddhanta. Now tell me, how is the heart of the jiva illuminated by shuddha-sattva? Vijay, the shuddha-sattva, pure existence of the jiva, does not manifest clearly as long as he remains conditioned in the material world. He realizes his sarup to the extent that this shuddha-sattva arises, but he cannot attain the result by any sadhana of karma again. The reason is as follows. No bodily impurity can be eradicated by another substance that is itself impure. Mundane karma is impure by nature, so how can it remove the contamination of mayika impurity on the jiva? As for gyan, it is like the fire, for it burns the impurity, but at the same time obliterates the fundamental sattva existence along with it. So in personal realization, you destroy the maya, but you also obliterate by that conception the real essence of the entity, a living entity also. How can this give rise to the happiness that comes from having cleansed the impurity? Thus, shuddha-sattva can only appear through bhakti, which arises by the mercy of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. When bhakti appears, shuddha-sattva illuminates the heart. It is a pleasure, Goswami, it's a pleasure to give instructions to a person as qualified as you. Now, what else do you wish to inquire about? Vijay, you have already explained that there are four types of Nayaka: Dhiro Datta, Dhiro Lalita, Dhiro Shanta, and Dhiro Datta. So these are four types of heroes that were mentioned previously when it discussed the concept of Vibhav, Alamban, Vishaya, which means in every relationship with Krishna to have rasa, it must start with the basic cause, which is the devotee as the subject of love and Krishna as the appropriate object for that particular devotee. So the Vishaya, Lamban of friendship is Krishna as Poganda, and Vatsalya is Krishna as Kumar, a young child, and Madhurya, Krishna as Kishore, like a teenager. So then, when it's describing part of this description of Krishna as the object of love, Krishna as the object of love in a particular relationship, it describes the different types of heroic personalities that one can have. So there's four types of hero: Dhira Datta. I seem to remember these. Dhira Datta means the kind of the gentle hero, you know, well behaved. Dhira Lalita is the romantic hero. Dhira Shanta is the statesman hero. And Dhiro Datta is the proud hero. It's like the Muhammad Ali, that kind of pride and arrogance almost. So which one of these is Krishna? Goswami, all of these four types of heroic characteristics are present in Krishna. The mutual contradictory bhavas that are seen in these four types of nayakas are all present in the nayaka. Nayaka means hero, Krishna, who is a chintya shakti, and he has the shakti to maintain all the rasas at once. See, because usually speaking, the arrogant person, you know, the Muhammad Ali is not the kind of the soft-spoken hero. And the statesman is not the romantic hero. It's different things like this. So he says that these bhavas act according to Krishna's desire. Krishna was endowed with the characteristics of all four types of nayaka, that means hero, also has another fascinating and secret peculiarity, which only extraordinary qualified persons are eligible to know. Vijay, since you already bestowed your great mercy upon me, kindly tell me this tattva also. Vijay Kumar's eyes filled with tears as he said this, and he fell at Goswami's feet. Goswamiji lifted him up and embraced him. His own eyes are filled with tears as he said in the voice choked with emotion, Baba, the confidential mystery is that in Madhurya Ras, Krishna is two distinct types of Nayaka. He is husband, pati, and paramour, upapati as well. Vijay Prabhu, Krishna is our eternal pati. He should only be called pati. So why is there the relationship of upapati? So now they're going to tell this Parakya Ras, where Krishna is, he can be a husband like in Dwarka, but he could be dancing with the wives of others. And when Vijay hears this, this is like, stop. This is too much. And you can imagine. In fact, in Gopal Champu,
Jiva Goswami explains that Krishna is actually married to Radha. Well, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it is Parakya Ras. And at the very end of that book, Jiva Goswami said, you know, some things I wrote because they're true and some things I wrote for others. And Vishwanath takes that to say that because he wanted to make Krishna consciousness respectful in such a Brahminical society, and people didn't have a framed reference to understand this, he presented Krishna as married. Goswami, this is a profound mystery. Spiritual affairs are like mysterious jewels, but among them, Parakya Madhurya Ras is like the Kastuba money. Vijay, bhaktas who have taken shelter of Madhurya Ras engage in bhajan with the bhava that Krishna is their pati. What is the deep import of considering Krishna one's upapati? So he wants to know, what is this upapati, that Krishna is their romantic lover, not married? Goswami, no rasa whatsoever appears if one conceives of paratattva as impersonal and worships it in an impersonal mood. Nivashesh bhava. This process denies the validity of Vedic statements such as rasa vaisaha. The Supreme Absolute Truth is the personification of all rasa. Chandogya Upanishads. Nivashesh bhava is useless because of its severe lack of happiness. However, from another angle of vision, the experience of rasa can develop progressively in accordance with the variety of Savishesh bhava. In other words, the mood that is variety. You should understand that rasa is the primary tattva of the paratattva. This Savishesha bhav, called Ishvara bhav, in which one relates to the Supreme as controller, is somewhat superior to Nivashesh bhav, and the Prabhu bhav and Dasya bhav is higher than the Ishvara bhav of Shantaras. Sakya bhav is more elevated than Dasya bhava, and Vatsalya bhava is more superior. And Madhurya ras is the topmost of all. Just as there is a sequence among these bhavas, each better than the previous one, similarly, Parakya Madhurya Ras is superior to Swakya. Swakya means swa, to do your own, to do with your own. Parakya means to do with others. So the Parakya is superior to Swakya. So he said there's a gradation of bhavas. The emotion and devotion increases. There are two tattvas, Atma, one's own, and Para, others, as in Ashraya. The natural tendency is to be fixed in the self. Atma Nishtha Dham is called Atma Ramata, the satisfaction of being situated in the self. And in this Atmaramata, Ras has no assistance from any separate entity. Krishna has this quality of being eternally self-satisfied. So there's two truths. Krishna enjoys himself and with others. They said, Krishna is eternally satisfied in Atmaramata, where the ras of the mood has no assistance from any other entity. However, at the same time, the quality of enjoying with the assistance of others, Pararamata, also exists in him eternally. The aggregate of contradictory characteristics is present together simultaneously in Paramapurusha Sri Krishna.
This is the intrinsic and constitutional nature of the Supreme Absolute Truth, Paratattva. In one aspect of Krishna Lila, there is Aparata, Atma Ramata, while in its counterpart, the quintessence of Paramatmata reigns splendidly to its fullest extent. The summit of this Paramatmata is Parakya Bhav. Parakya Ras is the astonishing Ras that appears when the Nayaka and the Nayaki are united by rag attraction, even though the relationship between them is Parabhav, Bhav of accepting another's consort. Anyway, it's a long explanation to show that there is a gradation of moods. There's a rasa or self-satisfaction, and a satisfaction with others, which is a greater satisfaction. And it reaches its summit in Parakya Bhav. From Atma Ramata to Parakya Madhurya Rasa is the full spectrum of rasa. As rasa is drawn in the direction of Atma Ramata, it gradually becomes dry. Whereas to the extent that it is drawn towards Parakya, it attains its fully blossomed state. When Krishna is the Nayaka, Parakya Ras can never be disgraceful, where in any ordinary jiva becomes the Nayaka, the consideration of Dharma and Adharma arises, and Parakya Bhav then becomes extremely base. So it's giving a warning that this paramour love in the material world is very base, but Krishna can never be disgraceful. The poets have determined that the meeting between a male paramour and a married woman is utterly contemptible. However, Rupa Goswami has said that although Alankar Shastras describe the Upapati as detestable and contemptible, this only applies to the mundane Parakya Nayaka. No such conclusion can be applied to Sri Krishna, who is directly the transcendental source of all avatars. Vijay, kindly tell me about the distinct characteristics of Pati. Goswami, a Pati is one who has accepted the hand of a bride in marriage. Vijay, please explain the characteristics of Upapati and Parakya. Upapati is a man who is driven by intense attachment to transgress Dharma and accept a Parakya, another, as his most dearly beloved. Parakya is a woman who neglects the Dharma of this world and the next, transgresses the regulations of marriage, and completely offers herself to a man other than her husband. There are two types of Parakya, namely unmarried, Kanya, and married, Varoda. Vijay, what is the symptoms of Sukhya? Goswami, a chaste woman who has been married according to the regulative principles and is always absorbed in following the orders of her husband is called Sukhya. Vijay, who are Sukhya and who are Parakya for Sri Krishna? Goswami, the married ladies of Dwarkapuri are Sukhya and the young gopis of Braja are mainly Parakya. Let me see where this is going and how much longer. Okay, we'll read one more answer, and then for tonight, that'd be enough to digest. Where are these two types of consorts situated in Upper Katlila, the spiritual world? Goswami, this is a very confidential matter. You know that the domain of the Paratattva comprises four quarters. Three quarters of opulence, vibhuti, are manifest in the spiritual realm, and one quarter in the mundane realm. Thus, the entire realm of Maya, consisting of 14 planetary systems, is situated in one quarter of his vibhuti. The river Viraj lies between the material and spiritual worlds. The world of Maya being situated on this side of it and the spiritual world on the other side.
Ramadham, which is composed of effulgence, surrounds the spiritual world, Jagat, Chit Jagat, on all sides. Apart from that, when one penetrates beyond the Viraja, the spiritual sky, Paravyoma, is seen as Samvyoma Rupa Kunta. There Aishwarya is prominent, and Narayan reigns as the Lord of all Lords, attended by unlimited transcendental majestic Shaktis. Vaikuntha Bhagavan has Swakya Ras, and the Shri, Bhu, and Nila Shakti serve as Swakya consorts. Above Vaikuntha lies Golok. In Vaikuntha, the Swakya consorts of the city remain absorbed in the respectable appropriate services. In Golok, the young ladies of Vraja serve Krishna in their particular Ras. Okay, we will continue. Anyone would like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Gail, any questions?
Just when you just now when you mentioned the Viraja River, where the material world is on one side, the spiritual world is on the other side. It just occurred to me that although I've heard that all these years, but now I'm just trying to reconcile that with the fact that we also hear that the material world is in the Brahma Jyoti, but so if the material world is in the Brahma Jyoti, then I'm just trying to figure out the geography then, you know.
Well, I mean, the effulgence of God is unending. So what it means to be in the Brahma Jyoti, it's like a sun, the rays may be limited, but the effulgence of God is unlimited. But I think more than that, it's hard to figure out the geography when you're dealing with something which is other dimensional.
Yeah, because then they said that the Virat River, as if to say there's like a dividing line, the Viraja River. It's like
I know, but I also like that statement where the where there's no circumference, the center is everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's not just a physical distance from the Supreme, it's a matter of consciousness. So I don't think the whole thing runs exactly by the rules of how we understand things. And Ravindra Sriprabhu said that's going to be the real challenge of understanding the temple of the Vedic planetarium. And he quotes one verse that the descriptions are from the perspective of God. And whether from our perspective we have a similar perspective, there are doubts. So, I don't know what practical understanding of it, only that there's a division between the material and spiritual world. Certainly, Pantastu Koti Sata Vatsara Sampragamyo Vaya Atapi Manaso Munipungavanam. You know, by the speed of mind, you know, going for millions of years, you can't reach Krishna. So, you know, when you get an image of a river, okay, if you go straight, eventually you'll get to that place. You know, if you go further, you'll cross it. But it doesn't work like that. So I'm just going to accept what it says without really fully understanding what that means in terms of my conceptual understanding of how time and space works. Okay, Gail?
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Rajarabi.
Haribo. That was a great program at your house. I really enjoyed it. And we
thank
met
you.
Nice people. Thank you. Okay, anybody else? Okay, Haribo.